the best and worst of It Follows for Batshit Scary.
Hello?
Darren, It Follows 2015 kind of came out of nowhere. It was good. It's filled with suspense. It has no use of music to tell you when the entity shows up. It kind of just uses the entities in the background, and you're kind of questioning yourself whether or not that's a ghost or not.
Yeah, it plays with you. The director plays with you because sometimes there are genuine entities in the background slowly kind of closing in. And then other times you have regular people just walking by. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen this film since it came out. I saw it in the cinema, like an advanced screening. And I watched it again this morning and forgotten how damn good it is. I mean, there are a few questionable moments in there in terms of, I guess, plot holes, but on the whole, it's a really tight, suspenseful movie with great performances, great camera work, obviously like a love letter to John Carpenter, and I had a really good time with it. I think it's something that's quite unique, and I'm really looking forward to see what David Robert Mitchell does with the sequel, which I think is called They Follow, right?
I think so. It's taken a while to happen. I mean, this movie's almost 10 years old.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the thing is that the lore of this movie is sometimes a little bit kind of tricky to get your head around. So if you sleep with the person that has the curse, you get the curse.
Like herpes.
Yeah, it's just a kind of...
It's an STD. It's a supernatural transmitted disease.
It is, yeah, yeah. Very good, very good. So if you sleep with the person that has the curse, you get the curse. They keep the curse in terms of they're able to see still the entities, but they don't get attacked.
Yeah, you can just walk right past them.
Yeah. But if you get touched by one of them, you then die, and the curse reverts back to the person that had it before you. Is that right? I think.
Yes. Yeah. You're right. And it can look like anybody or nobody you ever knew.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be loved ones, family members, you know, it's pretty, they go places, don't they?
And you're safe in water somehow.
Well, we'll get to that because that's one of the bits what I thought was a bit questionable or dumb in parts, but let's do this. Let's have a chat about it.
All right. Yeah, because I got some questions of my own, and there's some things about these entities that, or these ghosts that fall into some of these characters. Hmm. Like, why are they there? What's the meaning behind it? But we'll dive into that in a little bit. Okay, your best character.
Best character for me is, it's very easy to say Jay, mm-hmm. being the sort of lead protagonist in this. But I think I'd have to give it to Paul.
You felt like Paul growing up, huh?
Yeah, the kind of nerdy buddy of hers, who...
Hair dolls.
Yeah, it, and also I think it's quite... I mean, I know that he really fancies her, and he's had a long kind of relationship with her since he was very small. But they weren't an item. But I love his kind of dedication towards her in terms of, you know, she's got this curse on her, and rather than get away from her, all he wants to do is help her. And in the end, it turns out...
How does he do that, Darren?
In the end, he takes one for the team and sleeps with her. Yeah, sleeps with her so that he can protect her. And it's not just her that's on her own fighting these curses. He's actually teamed up with her to fight them, if you like, at the end of the film. So
he wants to tag team these sexual entities.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's all about. But yeah, I mean, ultimately the plot is a little bit thin.
Yeah,
there's not much there to it, but it's still fun and so well executed. And like I said before, the guy is obviously a huge Carpenter fan. And when you get to that opening scene at the beginning, it does look, I know it's Detroit, but it does kind of look like Pasadena, like where we went, mm-hmm. with those trees hanging over the street.
Main Street USA, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And it's purposefully done that way. And the reason that he chose Disaster Piece to do the score, this was a guy who'd just done kind of video games. And never done a movie score in his life, but because David Robert Mitchell really loved what he'd done on some video games, Fez, I think, was one of the games, he picked him and said, do you want to do a score for a film? He thought he had 6 months to do the score, and then all of a sudden, they turned around and said, we've got a slot at the Cannes Film Festival with this film now. Mm. And so he had to rush it out in, I think it was around about 2 weeks or something, that he had to pull everything together. But he's done an excellent job. I've actually just downloaded it to my phone because I think it's that solid. Really great synth score.
I do agree with the music. The music's great. And it is used in parts that need it and not used in parts that you think would be in it.
Hmm.
You know, we'll talk about that in a moment too. But I do have to say Jay for my best character. Just because of the ordeal she's going through, and she knows that. And I like how you said, like, Paul and Jay are an item. They form a bond, because without both of them watching each other's back, either one's going to die or the next one's going to get it soon.
Mm.
So you could see them at the end of the movie, you know, holding hands and everything. And then there's something in the background walking.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do have to pick Jay. Not very pretty. some entities will probably go like, oh, I have to kill this one.
You talking about Paul, right. Paul or Jay?
Jay.
Oh, okay.
Jay.
That's a bit harsh. Like,
I know. But even, you know what? At least the neighborhood kids think she's pretty. And the guy on the roof.
The guy on the roof? Oh, yeah. The naked guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Gosh, he left. I was about to just swing right in. And apparently they don't go through, these entities don't go through, they're not really specters, are they? They're just... They have to use rocks and break windows to get their thieves.
Yeah, yeah, the yeah. It's odd. They can't be seen until you get them in a certain sort of position, like covered up with a sheet or in water or something like that. But yeah, they're physically able to cause damage.
Yeah, mm. yeah. And slap people.
Mm. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Worst character?
Worst character for me has to be Hugh... Or Jeff, or whatever he's called. He's got two names in this film, yeah. or whatever.
Yeah.
For knowingly passing on the entity to Annie, who's the girl at the start of the film, and then obviously yeah. because she gets killed in a most horrific circumstances, just kind of all bent up, isn't she, on the beach?
Yeah.
That's a great scene. That whole scene... with the girl leaving the house is just at the start is just fantastic.
In heels.
In heels, doing the whole, I'm going to get to that in a bit, but that's a great moment. So the infection is passed on to Annie, who then it then reverts back to Hugh or Jeff, whichever one you're calling him at this point, and then he passes it on to Jay. In the car, sleeping with her in the car, or having sex with her in the car.
And he doesn't know he had it or revert back to him until in the movie theater.
That's right. Yeah, when he can see the girl that yeah. we can't see.
Yeah. Good opening.
Mm, excellent opening. Excellent opening.
My worst character, I got two. It's either Paul, because he's just a horned up kid. You know, he's like, I want to help you. I've used that line on many. Like, I'm going to be here for you. Don't you worry. Whatever. I feel like it's the beginning of that movie, Kids, from 1995.
Yeah.
Yo, girl, you know, just you and me. You know, there's nobody else.
Who's the guy who played, was it the Riddler in Batman?
Paul Dano?
He's a bit like Paul Dano, the actor.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Hence the name Paul.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how about her? How about this one? How about this girl? Yara.
Yara. Yeah, well, I kind of like Yara.
I don't. I think she's a Thelma, you know, Jinkies kind of bitch. You know, just. She's always sleeping.
She is.
She adds nothing to this movie at all, except for fart.
Olivia Lucardi, she was in a film that I saw earlier this year. Earlier last year. The one about the truck stop murders. What was that called?
Candyland.
That was it. She was the lead girl in that film, and she was fantastic in that. I kind of like her goofiness. I think she's quite fun.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Best line.
Best line in this is, I think it's when Hugh's explaining all the lore of this curse. Okay. Even though it is following you, I can still see it. It's not done with me either. Okay, like I told you, all you can do is pass it on to someone else.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Look, she could do the same thing I did. I mean, it should be easy for her. She's a girl. Any guy would be with you. Just sleep with someone else and tell them to do the same thing.
Maybe it will never come back.
It's easy.
Yeah.
You're a girl.
Just go and do it. It really made me laugh, whilst also explaining how this whole thing works. I mean, he's kind of explained it already to Jay when he's tied her up into the chair. But this is almost like a Scream moment where he's explaining the rules to the room, if you like, to all the kids sat around, which I thought was quite cool. I thought it was, because this does draw from different movies. It really does. This film's a real slow burn. I think a Scream audience could be quite bored by it in some instances. Younger audience nowadays. For me, I think that slow burn works really well because suspense. It's just filled with suspense and dread throughout.
So it's Hitchcockian in a way.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Slow build up, you know? I mean, because remember, Psycho, one of the greatest movies of all time, we didn't see a murder until almost like a quarter into the movie.
Yeah, I think it was more. I think it was like a good 40 minutes, wasn't it, before anything happened in that film?
This is character driven. Okay, mine is also coming from Hugh. It could look like someone you know, or it could be a stranger in a crowd. Whatever helps it get close to you. That's scary.
Yeah, yeah.
That's scary. And we're going to find that out from Greg in a moment. That could look like anybody. What an eerie line, though. Just like it could be anybody. It could look like anybody. It could be right next to you. It could be somebody in a crowd. That's how it gets you. It just wants to collapse your protective, you know, senses around you. Because isn't it hard if you're in a crowd going shopping or something like that? You think everything around you is safe.
Yeah.
But maybe some of us think we're more danger around our relatives more.
Especially our moms.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that in a moment, too. Worst line.
Worst line is Yara. Call it what
you like. Hey, I have an idea.
What?
You got away.
No need. Something wrong about a girl farting. I know it's a natural thing, you know, where our bodies are all the same, their gastrointestines and the way, you know, food is broke down in the large and small intestine and going right through the colon. I know how all that is. But it didn't turn me on. Anyway, maybe that's why I also don't like her too much as a character.
That's it. She's committed the cardinal sin, hasn't she?
Yeah.
She's farted in front of you before you've got to know her. So that's out.
Did you or even some people in our audience ever see the Wayans Brothers movie? Don't be a menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood.
No.
Yeah, comedy. Well, anyway.
I do know of it, but I haven't seen it.
Marlon Wayans sits next to a girl, and she has the worst hygiene and body odor, but she looks really good. He goes up to her and says, "What's your name, beautiful?" She goes, "Quanda." And he's like, and then he goes, "Well, okay." Well, he gets over that because maybe she just needs a breath mint. And he goes, "Are you here with anybody?" And she just goes, "No, you know, guys just don't think, just aren't seeing attracted to me for some reason." It just, and he goes, "Oh, that's a shame." And then last thing she does is she goes, "But you're here now." Just rips wide. He goes, "Oh, excuse me." You know, and he goes, "Let me go find that somebody," and just leaves. That's what it is. I mean, to us guys, it's funny because guys hanging around doing it, hilarious. But I don't know. girls that girls do it. It's just awful.
Oh, you have some issues. You need taken care of. but it is my worst line as well, because it just didn't feel like a necessary scene in the film. It's like the peanut butter on the penis thing, but anyway, it doesn't matter.
I got an idea for. Oh, no wonder why you're single. The entity probably this ghost will probably be like, oh man, please nobody screw her. best kill. There's not really many. I was going to ask you, if you want to do your favorite entity entrance, but you know what? This is last minute. But your favorite kill.
I think the opening scene.
Oh, okay.
I think that opening scene, from the moment the girl leaves the house and is wandering around the street, going out and about, and eventually she gets to the beach and she rings her dad up to tell her that she loves him and this, that, and the other. And then all of a sudden it cuts back to her and you see that shot of her body completely mangled. I think it's just an incredible opening to the film and really draws you in, like, what the hell has happened here? You know, this girl's just had a good night out, hooked up with someone, and all of a sudden she's all twisted and mangled on the beach. It's a really kind of jarring moment, I think, in this film. Yeah. And props to the director here for kind of hitting us over the head with that in the first 3 or 4 minutes. It really is a great opening.
You're drawn into it really quick. Mm. What's this girl running from, and why did she end up like this?
Yeah. And it does feel like it really does have a flavor of Halloween as well. And that's another thing that really draws me into this film, is the obvious Carpenterisms in there and Stings, you know. It's a great effort. It really is.
Mine has to be Greg. What a way to go out.
Greg, don't open the door!
What the fuck, Mom?
With your mom's boob hanging out.
Well, we should talk about this, because it's also my worst kill.
Okay. What a way to go. I mean, if I had to choose a way to go, that would be tops.
What a horrific way. So does she literally... Can I just ask you a question? Does she literally fuck him to death?
It looks like she was holding his hand, right? And she was enjoying herself. It was a dry hump.
Hmm.
But he opened the door and said, what, Mom? And it really looked like his mother.
Yeah.
And so, but I didn't realize that until I read up on it. And I was like, oh, an older woman. That's great. And then it was his mom. And I'm like, oh, whatever. Just each your own. Whatever.
Yeah, it's a really awkward scene, isn't it?
But it's yours. Let's talk about your worst. So.
That it's my worst. It's just because that's... You know, as you said, right, we know that it's not his mom. It's the entity that's taken on the form of his mom. But how kind of low can you go in terms of killing someone?
At least it wasn't his dad.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
The Bailey dog?
Yeah, I mean, they've really gone rock bottom here with this particular moment, and that's what makes it so unsavory. Now, I'm not saying it's the worst kill because it's bad. It's just like all your nightmares rolled into one. Do you know what I mean? It's such a horrible, nasty way to go. Whatever happens to him, he's killed in a sexual way by his mother
with a smile on his face.
Yeah. And it's just really quite unsavory.
Yeah. okay, your worst kill.
That was it.
Oh, yeah, okay. My worst kill is actually the entity being shot in the head in the pool.
Yeah.
It took, two shots, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Can you kill these things? Or can you just delay them?
I think you can delay them. Didn't they say... Hold on a minute.
Water has an effect.
You can incapacitate them, can't you? That's it. I don't think you can actually kill them. Because, my favorite moment in this is the beach scene when Yara is the entity and she's walking towards them at the beach house and Jay turns around and shoots her in the head. And it's the way that she's shot in the head, falls to the floor, kind of pauses a little bit and then gets back up as if nothing's happened, with blood gushing out of her head, walking towards the cabin again. And I just think that's such an eerie shot. And to think that later on she's actually back in the film as well. Mm-hmm. So it's really kind of, yeah, again, proper nightmare fuel.
That's also my best moment, is that whole scene, because when the hair picks up and nobody's there.
Well,
and they see that.
This is the thing. So is this, so are you, why isn't she dead? Because it hasn't touched her body?
It hasn't, you know, violated her.
Okay, so it touches her hair.
It was probably going to pull her away.
Yeah, and it pulls the other guy away as well, doesn't it? And
he doesn't. Because this is the question I have for you. Apparently, these entities have been, whatever form it takes, have all been victims in the past.
Right, okay.
So whatever, I guess, happened to them, they kind of mimic and get the revenge back on the person that they're going after.
Okay.
Could you imagine going that old lady at like middle of the movie, what she could do to you?
Yeah, that's a really upsetting scene as well. What I like about that is the fact that she walks through those two girls and they act like nothing's happened. And when Jay calls her, the old woman down the corridor, the girls almost seem to like look straight through her.
Yeah.
As if she's not there. It's really well done, is that sequence. But so we have the bit where Jay's hair's touched and nothing happens to her there. You've also got the bit when Paul is thrown backwards.
Yep.
Is it Paul? I think it is. Yes, yep. Paul's thrown backwards. And also, her dad, who's coming after her in the swimming pool, grabs her leg.
Yep.
But yet, is the water protecting her? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because it can't go in unless it's pushed in.
Yeah.
I mean, what else could you do? Could you? They put the sheet over it.
Yeah.
Could they tie it up if that really could to stop it? I mean, who's to say it's not, you know, going to get out? But yeah, I thought it was kind of weird when I found out that these were all sexual assault victims, because a lot of them are really half naked.
Yeah. Yeah,
especially the girl, like in the beginning, is kind of full.
Yeah. But the bit in the pool with when they've got all the appliances around the edge,
which I never got.
I presume it was they were going to trap it, put it in the pool, and then electrocute it. That was what my thought was on that.
I'll go in first.
Yeah. So did it not dawn on them that the entity might pick up the appliances and start throwing them as well? It's
never thought about that.
Yeah.
But as we can see, it doesn't go in. It's trying to, it throws everything at her to get her out.
And I don't know whether to electrocute her as well. I'm not sure. But it's throwing everything at her to try and get her out of the pool. And so am I to take it then that the touch in the water, it just means nothing? It's the impervious to.
Well, the symbolism is touch. That, yeah. You know, symbolism is that what water is purifying, isn't it?
Yeah.
And as we know from Night of the Demons, the dead can't go through running water. They can't go over it.
I just have
so many questions about this movie, about the lore of it. I mean, somebody who's into bestiality, does that go on to your golden retriever, or like, say, if you go and get a deer, something that's quick and fast? these are like, get a gazelle. I'm on safari, you know, because you can't catch a gazelle. This thing's walking, you know, the thing's going to be spooked and run. And then all of a sudden, what happens if a hunter hits it?
Exactly.
And you're like, oh, damn, Bambi got killed. The thing's coming at me now. Or something that's hibernating, like a polar bear.
But the shot at the end of the blood in the, because there's a bit of an obsession with water at the end. So the shot of the blood in the water.
Yeah.
Does that mean that as the blood drain, as the pool is drained and everything goes back into the system,
the filter system,
does that mean that people are then going to be
contaminated? I don't know, because you're not really, we're seeing it, Jay seeing the blood.
Mm.
I don't think anyone else can.
Yeah. A lot of questions.
So, no swimming in public pools, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just so many questions you have, and hopefully they could solve some of this in the next one.
Oh,
because I really want to know.
Yeah, it's called They Follow, so I would imagine that whatever's happened has had a knock-on effect at some point, and there's going to be more people that are out there. But also, I'd be quite interested to see who Patient Zero is with this, and how it all started.
I know
for the first film, it's kind of not knowing, sort of less is more, and not knowing how this came to be is really interesting. But I think now it's time to kind of discover a little bit more about it, rather than just having another 90-minute chase film, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them all holed up like in The Purge, you know, and Jay going to, you know, the Patient Zero and saying, how many of these guys did you fuck? Ron Jeremy comes out wheeling in. Didn't get me yet. It's like a whole... Yeah, and how many entities are there? Is it just one entity that just actually, you know, when it dies or its body dies, does a new one take over? Because they look like all different victims. Or is it just the same entity taking on the form of different victims?
Well, this is it. I don't know whether the... So if you sleep with somebody... Mm-hmm. And pass that entity on. If you sleep with another person, does it kind of, as you've been completely cleansed, I guess, when you sleep with the one person, so you can't pass it to anyone else. But like I say, if that other person dies, it comes back to you.
I'm scratching my head more talking about this.
It feels like it's a singular event, isn't it? It's just the one person who can ever have it at one time. But my thinking is that the blood draining back into the system allows more people to be infected.
What if you're a sperm donor?
Well, I'm guessing that that's how it's transferred anyway. Can a girl transfer it to another girl? Is that possible?
Is it
heterosexual sex that transfers it?
What about toys?
I don't know. How am
Stuffed
I supposed
animals.
To know?
Stuffed These are animals. The questions that need to be answered. As Dave McRae would say, there's no. Everybody wants to know how everything started and how everything ends because nobody wants to leave. No one wants to have an open interpretation of a movie and leave you thinking. Yeah. No, it's got to be this way, you know, and that's it. But with this and the way that you have it follows you, it's just more questions.
Hopefully,
it's like a health class.
Hopefully, there'll be more questions answered in the next movie, which I think is it next year?
Or left unanswered.
Yeah, there's probably more left unanswered. Yeah, for a third film. But no, I actually really rate this film, and I never really thought about it much in the past, even though I have seen it before. I did enjoy it, but I guess I just left it alone. But now I'm kind of curious, and I have to say, so I got, and I've shown this a few times before, but for those who haven't seen it, I got the Second Sight produced this amazing box set.
It's good looking.
Yeah, it's a really thick box set. You have the DVD and the Blu-ray and the 4K version. You also get the 100-page book on it follows. So I'm going to get into reading about that pretty soon. You get all these kind of lobby cards, and there's all sorts of things. We got commentary. We've got two commentaries on there from the director. Actually not from the director. We have a commentary from Joshua Grimm. An audio commentary by Danny Lee and Mark Jankovic, an interview with Keir Gilchrist, an interview with Olivia Licardi, It's in the House, which is an interview with producer David Kaplan, Composing a Masterpiece, which is an interview with Rich Vreeland, who's the guy from Disaster Piece, did the great score, and much, much more. There's so much here to... Actually, I tell a lie, it's a 150-page book that you get with it.
And the answer are probably in that book.
Probably in that book, but I didn't have time to read it beforehand. But
when you're in a private setting where men mostly do their great thinking,
I will, yeah, yeah. But no, congratulations to Second Sight. That just came out recently. It's around about $40 to buy, £40 to buy in the UK at the moment. I'm not sure it's out in the US.
Yeah, it's on Amazon.
Yep. Right, okay. But they've done an excellent job, as they do with all their box sets that they bring out. They're the Rolls-Royce of Blu-ray and 4K. They really are.
Just waiting for that Hitcher to come out.
Yes, later this year.
Just thinking about it. Okay, that was the best and worst of It Follows. I hope we did it justice for Batshit Scary.
Yeah.
He's a good bloke.
Great film. Really is.
Yeah. Good choice, too. Good choice. We'll be back more, ladies and gentlemen, with more best and worst of. We ain't going anywhere with this. It's fun doing this. And then we're going to go record something with Ronnie and Blake right now.
We are. That's going to be fun, too.
Yeah. All the good names are taken. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as always, stick to the roads.
And the best of luck.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
See you guys. Bye-bye.